In today's news headlines, House Democrats have introduced two articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump on Tuesday morning, one focusing on his abuse of power and the other on his obstruction of Congress. House Judiciary Committee Chair Gerald Nadler joined other Democratic leaders in announcing the articles.
Elections are the cornerstone of democracy and are foundational to the rule of law. But the integrity of our next election is at risk from a president who has already sought foreign interference in the 2016 and 2020 elections and who consistently puts himself above country. That is why we must act now.
That's House Judiciary Committee Chair Gerald Nadler. Following him, Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff also spoke.
The evidence of the president's misconduct is overwhelming and uncontested. And how could it not be when the president's own words on July 25th, "I would like you to do us a favor, though," lays so bare his intentions, his willingness to sacrifice the national security for his own personal interests. And when the president got caught, he committed his second impeachable act, obstruction of Congress, of the very ability to make sure that no one is above the law, not even the president of the United States.
Associated Press explained that, quote, voting is expected in a matter of days in the Judiciary Committee and by Christmas in the full House. If the House votes to pass the articles, Trump will become the third U.S. president to ever be impeached after Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson. Although Democrats and Republicans are fiercely battling over impeachment, they've managed to put their differences aside to come to an agreement on a new regional trade deal with Canada and Mexico, an update to NAFTA, the North America Free Trade Agreement. The new version of the trade deal, dubbed by Trump as the U.S.-Mexico-Canada or USMCA, had been negotiated by the Trump administration, but was stymied by Democrats' demands for greater labor protections. A day after Richard Trumka, who heads the AFL-CIO, said he was satisfied, Democratic Representative Richard Neal, who chairs the House Ways and Means Committee, said, quote, "We got the agreement. We're going to go with it." Robert Lighthizer, the White House chief trade negotiator, is traveling to Mexico on Tuesday, together with the president's son-in-law and advisor, Jared Kushner, to present the deal. In other trade news, the U.S. has just shut down the World Trade Organization's appeals court. Associated Press explained that the court's end means nations will be, quote, unable to reach a final resolution of disputes at the WTO and instead facing what critics call the law of the jungle. There are seven unresolved cases brought against the Trump administration's claims that steel and aluminium tariffs were hurting U.S. national security. In labor news, the Celadon Trucking Company on Monday announced bankruptcy, leaving thousands of truck drivers in the lurch just before the holidays. The Guardian newspaper reported that many of the truck drivers were left stranded in the midst of making deliveries as they await receiving bus tickets from the company to return home, now jobless and left without benefits 2 weeks before Christmas. Their fuel cards were shut off, and many were reported left without any directions on where or how to turn in their rigs. President Trump on Monday reacted to the long-awaited results of an investigation into the FBI over the special counsel probe. Speaking to reporters from the White House, he painted the report's conclusions as far worse than anyone thought they would be.
It's a disgrace what's happened with respect to the things that were done to our country. It should never again happen to another president. It is incredible, far worse than I would have ever thought possible. And it's an embarrassment to our country. It's dishonest. It's everything that a lot of people thought it would be, except far worse.
The actual report exonerated the FBI, although it drew attention to some serious lapses in how surveillance was conducted. Upset that the FBI director did not spin the report's results in the way he would have liked, Trump attacked the bureau chief on Twitter, saying, quote, "I don't know what report current director of the FBI Christopher Wray was reading, but it sure wasn't the one given to me." The news outlet Politico explained that the most damning conclusions of the Justice Department's Inspector General report showed that Trump and the GOP's conspiracy theories were proven false, including the Steele dossier didn't play a role in opening the Russia probe, Neither did Lisa Page or Peter Strzok. Obama never wiretapped Trump Tower. And the FBI didn't implant spies in Trump's campaign. In news from the Democratic presidential race, the Center for Popular Democracy Action has just endorsed Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders for president. The endorsement is being considered something of a coup, particularly against Senator Elizabeth Warren, as the coalition includes dozens of leading progressive organizations. And South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who's become a leading candidate, has just been given clearance by his former employer, McKinsey Consulting, to reveal the clients that he consulted for. In immigration news, the LA Times reports that the Trump administration's latest tactic to deny asylum seekers entry into the U.S. is to conduct medical screenings and turn away refugees if they fail the tests. Many asylum seekers complained that the terrible conditions under which they are being forced to wait in Mexico while their cases are adjudicated is fueling their illnesses. Central Americans, in particular, seeking refuge are camped out in tents as the winter weather impacts their immune systems. The so-called Remain in Mexico policy is so harsh that now reports have emerged of parents across the border from Texas sending their children, some as young as four, to cross the border bridge in Brownsville on their own. Children entering unaccompanied are not turned back. In international news, the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is under fire for pushing an Islamophobic bill offering citizenship to people in neighboring nations as long as they aren't Muslims. An Indian Muslim member of parliament, Asauddin Owaisi, denounced the bill, which passed the lower house, saying, quote, "We're heading toward totalitarianism, a fascist state. We are making India a theocratic country." Myanmar is facing charges of genocide at the International Court of Justice in The Hague. The Nobel Peace Laureate Aung San Suu Kyi is at the court on Tuesday to defend Myanmar's generals, switching sides in a conflict that has resulted in mass death, displacement, and persecution of the Rohingya Muslim minority. The charges are brought by Gambia, which is part of the 57-nation Organization of Islamic Cooperation. In Britain, ahead of an election centered on the Brexit saga, Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn has announced a bold plan centered on taxing the rich and redistributing wealth to benefit ordinary people. Corbyn's leftist vision has made him the target of a smear campaign claiming he has promoted anti-Semitism. According to AP, Corbyn is also promising the nationalisation of some rail and energy services, as well as free broadband internet, childcare, and university tuition. And finally, in a little covered peace summit in Paris, France, Russian and Ukrainian leaders have agreed to a ceasefire in the war-torn eastern region of Ukraine. Russia's Vladimir Putin and Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky met face-to-face for the first time since Zelensky's election. Together with Germany and France, the two leaders agreed to stop the fighting, exchange prisoners, remove landmines, and more. At the same time, the United Nations General Assembly passed a resolution condemning Russia's occupation of Crimea and demanded that Russian forces immediately withdraw. And that does it for our news headlines today.